History Teachers Talking podcast short lectures have now grown up and moved to their own channel. Don't forget to subscribe to our new podcast, History Shorts, wherever you're listening to this episode. Meanwhile, thanks for listening to History Teachers Talking, and here is your newest episode. This is Peter.
And this is Tom.
And you're listening to History Teachers Talking podcast.
Part of the Evergreen Podcast Network.
All right, this is Peter Zablocki and Thomas Reska, and welcome back to our podcast. What do we got today, Tommy?
Well, today we're going to delve into a part of history, I guess, we don't really do as much. What we're going to be talking about here, there's a lot of information here. We're going to be talking about Mary, the Queen of Scots, who was the Queen of both England and briefly France, believe it or not, and held a claim to the Queen of England as well.
She was just Queen of Scotland and then held a claim to Queen of England, yes. Although never really awarded to her because, you know, no. Her cousin was not really happy about that.
Her cousin was Queen Elizabeth I. Yeah.
Yes.
Well, that's monarch.
That's right. And I feel like the reason, that's the reason we don't do it, but even when I read this and when I study this and when I teach this, I actually teach the subjects, it's always so confusing because this one's cousins with this one and this one's married to this one because they needed to kind of have an alliance.
Yeah, well, they're all marrying cousins and they all share the same grandmother on one side and stuff like that. And there's some other guy who's like the heir who says he's the heir from his cousin who was originally the king.
And he's got claims.
300 years ago. Yeah, so there's a lot of that. And they throw, I guess the students will call it throwing shade at each other by a bunch of different ways. Yeah. Like today, like with changing the coat of arms and stuff like that. That was something that was really big that happens back then. So yeah, there's ways for them to get out. I just kind of was thinking this today. We were having a little conversation before this about like some like politics before we started recording. And it's just like this was the politics of the day. You know, you didn't have people going on social media saying these things, doing these sound bites. It was still all there, is what I'm trying to say too. Like it was still all the background gossip and stuff like that. Oh, her husband died. Oh, you know, she had him killed, right? Like luckily that's not where politics are at the moment. Hopefully we don't get there.
And also religion was such a big deal back then as well. Yes. Like, oh, this one's bad. This one's a Catholic.
That's really what this is. This is an example of the Protestants versus the Catholics. That's really where what this comes down to. Because if Mary wasn't Catholic, a lot of her troubles probably wouldn't be there.
So let's get going into Mary, also known as Mary, Queen of Scots. As you pointed out, they did just make a movie about her. Margot Robbie plays Queen Elizabeth. I'm not sure who the actress is that plays Mary, Queen of Scots, but we're going to look into Mary today. So Mary's father, King James V, King of Scotland, he died on December 14th of 1542 following the Battle of Solway Moss. Yeah. Well, only 6 days before that, his wife gave birth to a baby girl and they named her Mary. So on his death, baby Mary literally became the Queen of Scotland. She was 6 days old.
Infant and her uncle, her great uncle, Henry VIII, made a bid for control of her pretty quickly, actually. And her mother ended up acting as regent, but she was made queen after just like a week or so.
What winds up happening at the age of five, Mary is betrothed to Henry VIII's only son, Edward, because Henry wants to secure an alliance with Scotland to distance Scotland from France, because Scotland's becoming too buddy-buddy with France, and they're also becoming a little too Catholic. So Henry VIII's like, all right, my son Edward is going to marry Mary, and Mary's like five at the time. The Scots refuse the match. They're like, yeah, no. Instead, at 6 years old, Mary is betrothed to Francis, who's the heir to the French crown. The one thing that Henry VIII was trying to discourage is actually happening. The Scots are leaning more towards France. And Mary's really used as like a political pawn, even from a very young age.
Absolutely. And that's what's going on. And it's all because, like you said, the Scottish Parliament basically didn't want to be married to Henry's son. And that was because they were Catholic. And they objected to the plan because England had separated from the Catholic Church at this point. So that match was annulled, goes to France. And she spent a lot of time in France because her mother was actually French.
Yeah. The mom sends her over. The mom was French and she taught her to speak French. And then she sends her over to France at the age of five. And she's actually raised in a court of King Henry II in France.
She did very well. She's taught multiple languages. She learned, obviously French, English. I think she learned Spanish and Italian also. She was actually known for being quite beautiful too. She was about a teenager at this point.
She was 5'11". She was taller than me.
Which is tall for this time. Yeah.
And that's still today.
Especially for a woman. And she was also known for, and I think that's also what it kind of intrigued people about her, because she was known for her beauty. Also, she was apparently an excellent dancer. So they would like show her off and stuff a lot of these galas. and everything. And she was sought after. So she had a lot of power. She had a lot of this like aura about her. And she had a claim, like we said before, to not only Scotland, but also France. She is named Queen of France briefly.
She was considered more French than actually Scottish. She was, you know, she was a French woman. She was literally raised there from the age of five.
Yeah.
So through her cousin, Henry VIII, she has some Tudor blood. Therefore, she is technically...
They share the same grandmother.
Yes.
Her grandmother was a Tudor. So that's what has her. And she was briefly the Queen of France from 1559 to 1560 because she does marry...
Francis.
Yeah, she marries Francis. Francis
the eldest son of Henry II of France.
So she marries him in 1558. She's 14, he's 15. She becomes queen a year later. A year after that, both her mother and her husband die. Right? They die from disease. So when they die, she goes back to Scotland, but she wants England.
She's like the Renaissance princess of her time. She marries Francis, who's the, as we mentioned, eldest son of Henry and Catherine in France. So she becomes kind of French royalty. She sees herself more as French than anything else. This is 1558 when they get married. And they, as you mentioned, they're really young. So the belief today is that the marriage was never consummated. Like these guys were just too young at the time. And then what happens is a session of Queen Elizabeth, because this plays a big part here. Elizabeth the Tudor ascends to the throne in England in November of 1558 as well, the same year that Mary gets married in France. And Mary becomes, by virtue of her Tudor blood, the next in line to the English throne. But because she's, you know, she's a Roman Catholic, there's a big issue with that. And people are like, not
really. Well, Mary, yeah. And then Elizabeth refuses to name Mary her heir.
Yeah.
Because you have to name it, and she refuses to ever do that. There's some other things, too, that Mary does. What she does is she wants to go back to England, like you said. She goes back to Scotland first, and she changed or quartered what is called her coat of arms to reflect her claim to England. And then when Queen Elizabeth hears about this, that enrages her. It's like, you know, she's changing the coat of arms so that she has a claim to England, which she doesn't.
She's only 18 years old at this time.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They're both pretty young, too, right? Yeah. At this point. Elizabeth's not that much older. And then when Elizabeth refuses to name her heir, Mary refuses to acknowledge the Treaty of Edinburgh, which is what accepted Elizabeth's right as Queen of England, which basically recognized that. So she refuses to acknowledge that. If she ever outright says, you know, I should be queen, but by refusing to acknowledge it, it's kind of those like backdoor, you know, channels and stuff like that. Think of like a pocket veto type of thing.
Yep.
You know, like, so you could say nowadays. So they're kind of just doing these back, it's kind of little shots at each other, you know?
And things are not going well. So not only are things not going well between her cousin in England and, you know, and Mary in Scotland, but things are not going that great in Scotland as well, because during her absence, remember, she left from like 5 to 18. She was raised very much Catholic in France. When she comes back, the religion, official religion of Scotland has since changed
to Protestant.
To Protestant, right? So she kind of, when she gets in there, you have the Calvinist movement is really strong, and they kind of see her as this foreign queen. She's like, you know, an alien religion. She's a foreign queen. She's French. What does she know? So a lot of Scottish nobles are not really in her court. Like, with her.
The land barons don't like her. Now, there's still a lot of Scottish Catholics at the time, too. But this conflict that's going on, I'm going to call it a war, even though it will become one in a little bit. The Protestants are definitely winning. They're outnumbering the Catholics at this point. And Mary knows this. And she's constantly uphill battle because, like you said, those barons are not supporting her at all because they are mostly Protestant. And one of the biggest ones was a man by the name of John Knox. And he actually creates the Church of Scotland. And he outright says, one, I do not believe women should rule. And two, a Catholic woman should definitely not rule because Catholicism is the wrong religion.
Yep.
So although she's popular with some nobles and some people, she's also not with the majority, but she was.
Well, she turns to her brother. Doesn't she turn to her brother for some legitimacy?
Does that. She'll start practicing mass in secret and at night so that it's not like out in the open. She recognizes Protestantism. She says that's fine if you are a Protestant. She's not like trying to persecute Protestantism as queen. It's just not really working very well for her. So
James Stewart, right? So James Stewart becomes the first Earl of Moray. That is her half-brother, I guess, right? So he winds up helping her kind of get in there because James Earl of Moray, also known as James Stewart, he is definitely pro-Calvinist reformer John Knox, right? He opposes a lot of the things that his sister does, particularly the religious aspect, but he has the respect somewhat because of the fact that his religion is the right one. But the issue with James Stewart is that he's an illegitimate son of King James V. So therefore, he's not really the heir to the throne. Mary is. He is not. But because he's more respected amongst different lords, she uses him.
And she's willing to make concessions. Like, she does get married again. She's married three times total. Her second marriage is actually to a man named Henry Stewart. And that's where, as we said before, some of the stuff gets complicated. Like the last names and stuff. They're not related, but they have some
last names. James is a half-brother. Henry's a different guy.
Henry's a different guy. They actually get married. And he's a Protestant. So by marrying a Protestant, the idea is that she can... You know, this is totally an arranged marriage in that regard.
It's her cousin, too.
Yeah, it's her cousin, too. Well, that's commonplace. Back then.
I think she's 23 at the time when this happened.
Yeah, so she's a little bit older. And she gets married to Henry Stewart. He's a Protestant. They do have a son named James. Remember that, because he's going to come into play. But during this whole time, she's, as I'm sure Henry's probably having, too, it's believed she's having an affair with a man, just one of her court members, by the name of David Rizzio. And he's a Catholic.
It's her secretary.
And they believe she's having an affair with him. Stewart was kind of jealous of him.
Henry Stewart. So we could also refer to Henry Stewart as Earl of Darnley, so we don't get confused with her brother, James Stewart. So her second husband, Henry Stewart, the Earl of Darnley, he winds up figuring out that his wife is basically cheating on him behind his back with this other young guy that happens to be Catholic, who is considered her not just secretary, but also confidant.
Yeah, right? And you guys remember when that gets out too, now all the court members and all the barons, they're going to snicker. They're going to joke. Like, it's one thing that they kind of assume something like that is probably happening. Like, they know the king's got his harem, whatever you want to call it, right? And that the queen might be doing something similar. But when it becomes more public knowledge, that's when it has to be addressed. Like anything else, it becomes a scandal.
Rizzo winds up telling her that Darnley wants to assassinate her.
Yeah.
Right? And this becomes kind of interesting here too, because at this time, she gives birth, like you said, to their son James in June, right? And even though the marriage is pretty much over, James is now the heir to the Scottish throne, right? I mean, he's a baby. Something would happen to Mary when she was little. Doesn't she also at this time develop another adulterous relationship with James Hepburn, the Earl of Bothwell? I'm almost positive.
That's when they believe something's going on. She does eventually, she will marry him eventually.
Yeah, because she was sleeping with the Rizzo guy. Yeah. She's cheating on her husband, but I also think she now starts sleeping with James Hepburn.
So Rizzo actually gets assassinated. He gets stabbed 57 times, as apparently Mary looked on. She apparently was like there when it happened. Kind of, she no longer wanted to be married to
Darnley. Yeah, Henry Darnley, the Earl. Darnley, right?
And then he is, just a year later, mysteriously killed in February 1567 in an explosion.
But he supposedly survives the explosion, and then he is blown up, but then strangled. His body was strangled. And this is iffy, because he dies on February 9th of 1567. It's this house on the outskirts of Edinburgh. So Darnley lay recovering from some illness. So he's the husband of Mary, Queen of Scots. And while he's recovering from this illness, apparently something happens where the house sets on fire. It blows up. Darnley supposedly tried to escape, but while he was trying to escape, he somehow got strangled, because when his body was taken out, it wasn't that he died from the explosion or from the fumes. He definitely died from strangulation. So no one really knows why he died, how he died. Some people say that he was trying to actually blow up Mary and was just caught in his own trap. Other people believe that Mary had him killed so she could start officially hooking up and marry the next guy. Yeah. Who was,
or that she at least knew about it. Help him.
Hepburn, Bothwell. Yeah.
Yeah. Or that she at least knew about it and didn't warn him. That was, they say at the very least, she probably knew about and just didn't warn him.
Greetings from Evergreen Podcasts. We're rolling out a listener survey and we want to hear from you. The information in the survey will help us gather statistics and in turn make our shows more appealing to advertisers. I know most people don't like ads, but this is one of the only ways our shows make money and help keep their lights on. We promise it will only take a few minutes, but the impact on our podcasts will be tremendous. As a token of our appreciation, we'll randomly select one lucky participant each month to win an exclusive merchandise package from Evergreen Podcasts. Head to evergreenpodcast.com/listener survey to help a show and possibly get some free stuff for doing so. We can't thank you enough for the support. Now back to the show.
So yeah, so he winds up dying. Like I said, like very suspicious. Foul play was definitely involved, right?
And but the then, counselors are telling her like, don't get married right away. It's going to be fishy. Yeah. Your husband just got blown up. Don't do anything. But well, 3 months later,
she gets married to the number one suspect, which exactly. is James Hepburn. So he's yep. the Earl of Bothwell, like you said. So he's yep. the main suspect, and then she marries him. This is like, you know, out of a movie. I know they made a movie about this. You're a Hollywood producer. You're reading this. You're going to be like, wow, this makes yeah. a great movie. Let's get Margot Robbie. Let's get Barbie to be playing it. But anyway.
Well, she plays Elizabeth. Come on.
Yeah, well, yeah, Elizabeth's a big star in this movie,
we
too.
We ever do a thing on Elizabeth?
I don't know if we took I know we've mentioned her in a couple things.
Yeah.
She's another focused, one that'll be a cool focused podcast. Just on her. But oh, yeah, absolutely.
All right, so but, what happens here, right? So the two of them get married.
Yeah, and they knew each other long before this. He kind of always wanted to be king. He had a lot of influence on her. She had her own ambitions also. He actually abducted her at one point and held her in a castle, in Dunbar Castle yeah. for a while, like before all this came out. But it was a very scandalous marriage, and the Scottish nobility rise against her. They told her, don't do it. She does it anyway. So Bothwell...
Well, he's super unpopular, right? They said yeah. it caused, not only did it cause an outrage in the Scottish nobility and just the general population, where like, we don't like this guy. He was deeply unpopular. And not only was he unpopular in himself, they thought that he was like a womanizer and so on and so forth. And is this the right person to marry our queen? But also the public truly believed that he was the one to have killed Darnley. Like he was the one that killed yeah. her previous husband.
Whether he did or not, the fact that the public believed that, that just kind of, that's what they were saying. You can't marry this guy. It's only going to make things worse. And she doesn't anyway.
Well, and after that happens, right? Mary faces rebellion from Scottish nobles. They oppose the rule, not just yeah. his, but her rule. They're all against what she's doing. And the forces that oppose her meet at the Battle of Carberry Hill in June of 1567. And actually Mary's defeated, right?
Yeah, her forces are beaten. He goes into exile.
Well, he goes into exile.
You never see him again. He just dies in exile. She actually is captured. And she's locked in a castle on the island of Lochaven. And they believe it's there. I've read a couple different places that she miscarried twins there. She was pregnant at the time, and she miscarried twins, probably Hepburn's twins. So she would have had other children, which would have complicated this even more. And then later on that year, in 1567, she abdicates the throne to her son, James VI of Scotland. But he's only a year yeah. old. So the barons are kind of going to control him, and they're already decided they're going to raise him Protestant.
Well, and there's also this other issue with her more famous cousin, because... Yeah. Queen Elizabeth has a lot of people that don't like her, right? Even back in England, specifically the Catholics. So the Catholics of England hoped that Elizabeth's cousin, Mary Stuart, Queen of Scots, would someday become the Queen of England. Both the Pope and the rulers of Spain actively support Mary in her quest yeah. to unseat Elizabeth. So you have Spain and you have the Pope and you have the Catholic Church. It's like, Mary, you can do this. You have the claim to the throne. You should unseat Elizabeth. Initially, Mary, as she faces the revolt from the Scottish subjects, she flees to England.
Yeah, she's in that castle for a while, and she tries to escape a couple times. One time as a washwoman,
yeah,
and it failed, gets caught. One time she tries to, like, I guess, cross a canal at night, gets caught. She tries to do that. A second time actually succeeds, and she gets to England, and she thinks she's going to be accepted there.
Well, because Elizabeth initially is like, all yeah. right, I'll help you. I'll protect you. Come in.
Yeah, it's because like she is royal. She has to be. She's royalty, and she's family.
Yeah.
So, but it's kind of like this weird way, because she is royalty, like we said, she is family, but she also is a threat to your power.
Yeah.
And she's kind of openly said this, not, but like backdoor channels, you know, she knows that, you know, she has the support of all the Catholics in England. So there is still that threat to her power, like we said. So she's placed under house arrest right away when she comes in. And she winds up staying there for 20 years.
Yeah, 18 to 20 years. I think it's 18 or 20, it might be 20 years, under house arrest. While yeah. The kingdom, like the region of Scotland, is her brother, her half-brother, becomes the region of Scotland, James Stuart or the first Earl of Moray. He's a Protestant dude, so Elizabeth's like, yeah, you take care of that. You chill in Scotland. It was cool. Mary's going to stay here. And they lock her up in captivity. Like I said, for the rest of her life, really.
Yeah, she's moved a lot, too. It's not always in one spot.
Nope, yep.
So they're constantly moving around. And we say she's being locked up. She's not in, like, prison.
Yeah, no, she's royalty.
She's royalty. She's treated well. There's just always guards around her. They know what she's doing. They you know, so they want to keep an eye on her because they don't want her to get in touch with these Catholic forces, which are plotting to remove the Protestant Elizabeth. So what Mary does that further kind of, like, irritate Elizabeth is she names the Catholic Philip II of Spain her heir.
Yeah.
So that
if and Elizabeth's happens, like, bro, I'm like, what are you doing?
You can't be doing that. And obviously, this is again, it all boils down to Catholics versus Protestants. So that's where this is basically going.
Well, while she's hanging out though, they said that first of all, a few things you mentioned, like she's not in a dungeon, right?
No,
she's really not allowed to go out. I mean, she's kind of locked up in this like beautiful little castle as she's moved to another beautiful little castle. And she said she would like embroidery was a big thing. She would love to like sit with her pets. I was like, she was big into lap dogs and singing birds. And she would like sit there and sew things. During this time, they said her health suffered significantly. It's just 20 years. Lack of any physical exercise. So they said her beauty disappeared. She gained a lot of weight. And even like looking at later on paintings of her, they said that like she was just not the same Mary.
It was almost stressful.
Like Elizabeth. Yeah, like Elizabeth did this on purpose. Like she locked her up so she would like lose her beauty, you might say.
Yeah, there was a bit of a rivalry. That's what I was kind of getting with some of the things I was reading too. That it was kind of like, I think the movie I was watching some of the trailers and stuff from the movie, they do kind of say that Elizabeth and Mary did talk to each other. There's no historical record they ever had any direct correspondence. Yeah. They kind of show them like talking through like curtains and stuff. Like it was never official, but here they are talking. So it was, you had kind of that sort of thing, but there was definitely a rivalry there because Mary had the claim and she wanted to be the queen. Remember, she lost it.
And so did Spain, and so did France wanted her to be a queen. Like every major Catholic country that is against England this is their way in because they hate England. And they're like, all right, France and Spain are like this. The two other major empires besides England have this woman that actually has a claim that, you know, to the kingdom. Yeah. And she's their religion. Like, we got to do our best. And that's what winds up happening here is a plot is discovered in 1586 to assassinate Elizabeth and bring about this Roman Catholic uprising. And it's spearheaded by the Catholic Church. It's spearheaded by the Pope and Spain and France. And Queen Elizabeth realizes, like, where they're about to bring up this Catholic uprising and there's this plot to assassinate me. It's pretty obvious who they're going to put in my place. So she realizes at that moment in 1586 that Mary is more dangerous to her alive than just being locked up anywhere. Even if she's locked up and she can't do anything, she's still too dangerous because people have the ideas that Mary could overthrow her.
Yeah, so, she was brought on trial. So Mary was brought on trial. Right, it was
She's
Sir
crazy,
Francis.
Right?
Yes, Sir Francis Wisingham. He was basically the spy master. He got all these letters. Now, there's some debate today if these letters were forgeries or not, but there's no debate whether Mary was definitely conspiring somehow to get on the throne. Everyone knew.
Yeah,
that.
With the Catholic Church.
Yeah, and Elizabeth. So, on 1586, Mary was found guilty. She said that she had nothing to do with it, but she was found guilty nonetheless. But Elizabeth still is refusing to sign her death warrant, which I thought was interesting.
Yeah.
And then she finally does sign it. However, it is a condition in it that says I have to be consulted before Mary is executed. From what I kind of gathered, she didn't want to really kill her. Yeah. Like it was kind of like, let me just keep her in captivity. We'll throw her in like a real dungeon now or something like that. She's still entitled to certain things because of her royal blood and everything. But I don't think she really wanted her dead. Or maybe she just didn't want it to seem like she wanted her dead. Who knows? Like, you know, but she on February 8th, she was actually, Mary was executed, but Elizabeth was never consulted about it.
Yeah. Just the sheer fact though, that she's literally a sovereign queen of another country and she's brought on trial and condemned, which is kind of crazy. And to justify it though, right? Even though like Elizabeth might not have had the direct cause of this, they justified it by asking her son. But she never met her son. She literally was taken away when the son was born. So the son literally never met the mother or knew the mother. He was raised in a completely different religion, right? Under the tutelage of James Stewart, her half brother. This guy, as far as he's concerned, he's like, yeah, you got fine, kill her. It's fine. Like he would become the new king of Scotland. So he's like, whatever, it's fine. So what winds up happening is she is executed. In 1587, they said in the Great Hall, right, of, where is it, Fotheringay Castle near Peterborough? Yeah,
Northamptonshire.
Yep. Yeah. She was only 44 years old. And how did they execute her?
Didn't they chop her head off?
Yeah, they cut her
head. And she supposedly wore like a black dress and everything, being with the Catholic religion, to have like one last like stance of defiance, basically. So she winds up getting killed. And when she was killed, her body was buried in Peterborough Cathedral. That's what it was.
Westminster Abbey. Then eventually Westminster
Abbey. Well, it was moved to Westminster Abbey years later, because this is what they kind of say. A lot of years were all like, you know, Mary gets the last laugh, because eventually James, her son, James the Sixth of Scotland, becomes James the First of England when Elizabeth dies in 1603. And that ends the House of Tudor and starts the Jacobin era. And then when he becomes king, he has his mother's body moved. When he becomes King James I of England, he has his mother's body moved to Westminster Abbey in 1612. And that's where it's, I believe, still is today. So it was originally buried underneath the cathedral, and then he has it moved when he becomes king. So even though he's like, yeah, kill her, but he still recognized that as my mother.
Did you read the whole, like, how gruesome the whole... That's kind of a cool story, by the way. The gruesome aspect of when she was executed. The executioner took several swings of the axe. They did with an axe to complete the execution. And it's customary, as was customary, he went to lift the severed head to proclaim God save Queen Elizabeth, because that's what you said after any execution of a political thing. But when he lifted or tried to lift the severed head of Mary... He wound up just lifting the red wig, because Mary had a wig and her head was actually still on the floor. And accounts say that her lips were still moving in the head. It's so gruesome. Ugh.
Yeah, the muscles and I guess the nerve endings are still firing at that point. Basically, like centuries after her death, like she's still like people are really fascinated by it. There was films in 1971, as we talked about. The newer one came out in 2018. Mary, Queen of Scots. There was Saoirse Ronan plays Mary and Margot Robbie as Elizabeth. And there was actually a TV show, Reign, from 2013 to 2017, which was all about Mary's life. So like it's still like
we should have prepped for this by watching some TV stuff.
There's still a lot of fascination with her, because a lot of people still say, even though that she wanted to become queen, that she didn't really have any chance to ever become queen. She really wasn't a threat at all to Mary. That's what a lot of historians that I saw were really arguing, that she never had a real chance to actually become queen. That it was just like the paranoia that Mary had, and the Protestants to just get rid of her, because as long as she's there, there is a threat. Even if it wasn't a big threat, it's still a threat. You know what I'm saying? Yep.
And even afterwards, things kind of fell apart on a global scale because of the fact that Philip II of Spain was one of Mary's like biggest, strongest supporters for her claim. So what ends up happening is afterwards, he's like, oh, all right, I'm going to try to buddy up to Elizabeth instead. And Elizabeth's like kind of keeping him on his side. All right, yeah, maybe I like you. Meanwhile, she's just like, all right, I want my fleet to attack the Spanish fleet. And it leads to more warfare after this because of the fact that a lot of these nations really counted on Mary ascending and taking over the British throne, but it never happened. And after that, to consolidate her strength and power, Elizabeth had to kind of backtrack a little bit, kind of erase Mary's supporters, even though Mary was dead. So yeah, I think that's pretty much it. Go watch the movie, guys.
There's a lot out there on her. She has some famous, interesting quotes too that she writes in her letters, so they're always good to look at.
Okay. Wasn't there a bunch of love letters that they say like now maybe are proof, maybe are not proof as to whether she really did cheat on her second husband? They said they called them casket letters. There's like poems and letters that Mary wrote to Bothwell about like maybe getting together with Bothwell to kill her husband. But today, a lot of historians are like, "Yeah, it's just some poems." Like,
it's because of this quote that they found. It says, "If I could be anything in the world, I would want to be a teardrop, because I would be born in your eyes, live on your cheeks, and die on your lips." So that was kind of
funny. And then her husband dies. Du-du-du-du.
Yeah. So
scandalous. Anyway, so I think that pretty much sums up our podcast on Mary, Queen of Scots. If you guys need to follow us, you can find us at www.historyteacherstalkingpodcast.com. Thank you so much for all your support. We do appreciate it. And we'll see you guys again next week.
Stay safe, everybody.
I hope everyone enjoyed our podcast, and if you would like to email us, you can do so at historyteacherspodcast@gmail.com.
History is the greatest adventure story, but does it ever leave you wondering what the women were doing all that time? This is Lori from the Her Half of History podcast, and the answer is that some women were seizing power, or escaping slavery, or spying for their country, or creating artistic masterpieces, while countless others were doing the laundry, getting married, and wondering why their clothes don't have more pockets. If you would like to hear the stories of women doing all of those things, check out Her Half of History at herhalfofhistory.com or wherever you get your podcasts.